Hey, Betties. Welcome to the Better Podcast. It's your host, Dr. Stephanie. It is geeky magic time where I step away from the interviews and just talk to you. It's just going to be me and you today. And these episodes, I'm going to bring you personal insights, frequently asked questions, topic du jour in a more condensed, quick, and actionable way. I go hard on the geek, wrap it up with sprinkles and magic for you to do and be better. Today, we are going to go on a little geeky magic carpet ride together on the female menstrual cycle. One of my goals this year is to make it my best year ever with my skin. And one of the ways that I'm doing that is with the Bond Charge Red Light Neck and Chest Mask. Wrinkles, acne, scarring, skin roughness, loss of collagen and elastin happen in the face and in the neck and the décolletage area on our chest where the skin is very thin and susceptible to skin damage. I think at this point we're all pretty good about putting sunscreen on our face, but so many of us miss the neck and the chest area too. I use the Bond Charge neck and chest mask daily for about 10 minutes in the morning while I'm checking emails. Their red and near infrared light waves together penetrate up to 5 to 10 centimeters below the skin surface. The red light reaches the skin's top layers, and the NIR light targets the deeper tissues without UV exposure. And that's going to help reduce the fine lines, wrinkles, and to help ramp up collagen and elastin production. So I want you to head over and have your best skin with me this year. Go to bondcharge.com/better. That's BETTER. And use the discount code BETTER at checkout. And that's going to give you 15% off your entire cart. Transform your health and fitness with the Carol Bike, the smartest, most effective exercise backed by science. You can experience unparalleled results in just a minimum of 15 minutes per week, thanks to AI personalized workouts tailored to your age and your fitness level. You will increase fat loss, train up your strength and your speed, and have better energy, something that every woman, including myself, absolutely covets. I always say that women are the original biohackers. If there's a way for us to feel better and look better, we are all over it. Carol Bike, in my opinion, is one of the best pieces of cardio equipment that you can invest in. Studies prove that Carol helps you achieve a 12% increase in cardio fitness, lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and reduces blood pressure by 5% in as little as 8 weeks. Begin your transformation with the Carol Bike today and enjoy $100 off using the promo code BETTER for our beautiful Better Podcast listeners. That's BETTER. All you have to do is visit carolbike.com. Otherwise known as the Lasso of Truth, your hormonal report card that you get every single month. And this particular topic was inspired by a talk that I gave to a community called the Dovetail Community. So shout out to Alexis Dean and her high-performing female entrepreneurs. And I had given a talk, must have been about a year ago now, and we were talking about how you can use your period and your cycle and how the ebbs and flow in your cycle can really determine when in your cycle is the best time to give a talk, when you can negotiate for more money, when it's the best time to go out on a date and all these types of things. And as I was going through the different phases of the menstrual cycle, I noticed that there were a lot of questions, and there was either a lot of questions at the end, or there was a lot of nodding. Like, people were like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Now that explains why, you know, I'm so horny at certain times of the month, or this is why I feel like a crazy person every couple of weeks. So that particular talk was actually quite a pivotal moment for me, because it was one of the catalysts. There were several that sort of was happening at that time in my life. But it was one of the catalysts to write the book that I am almost ready to share with the world. Not quite yet, but getting there. And so I wanted to share the same wisdom that I shared with the Dovetail community with you, because I think that as women, you know, we may have taken high school biology and learned about our periods for maybe like a couple of days or a couple of uncomfortable hours in high school bio. But other than that, we really don't think about our cycles, particularly the women that I work with. I noticed that we really don't play around with our behaviors, the way that we eat, the way that we train, the way that we think, the way that we behave in accordance with our menstrual cycle. So I will promise to the ladies who are listening who are in menopause, there is going to be a solo episode just for you. Today, what I want to focus in on is teaching women who are still cyclical. So that includes women who are in perimenopause. So perimenopause is somewhere between the age of 35 and 50-ish. This also applies to you as well, because this is going to really teach you about how your body changes literally every single day of the month and has been doing so for years. So I want you at the end of this podcast, I want you to become sort of your own period expert, like this, your chief period officer, a CPO of your, of your body. And I hope that by the end of this podcast, and if you want to re-listen to it, share it with a friend, have a little discussion around it with a couple of girlfriends, I want you to be able to understand what is normal versus what might be common. Now, I could go on a whole different tangent on like the word normal and common, how they're different, but I will just summarize it by saying what is common is not necessarily normal. And I think when it comes to menstruation, we really do, because we have normalized menstrual pain, we often don't clue into when things have gone awry, where there may be hormonal imbalances and how to fix them. And I think what I'll do following this, if there's interest, is to really do a deep dive into each of the individual potential hormonal derangements that women experience through their cycle and beyond, and then some of the proxies that we can use to help heal. So the way that I'm going to divide this talk up is, this little podcast up, is in 4 weeks, okay? So most periods, the average period length is about 29 to 30 days. And what we consider normal is somewhere between 26 and 34 or 35 days. So I'm just, for the ease of math, gonna talk about this in terms of, and we're gonna assume that your cycle is about 4 weeks. It can be 4.5. It can be just under 4 weeks, but there are 4 distinct parts to your cycle. And that's what I'm doing here. And because 28 just evenly divides into 4 weeks really easily, we're going to do it that way. But just know that if your period is longer than 28 days, like mine is, mine's like 29 days on the money every single month for the last however many years, just know that you can add, you know, a day or two into each cycle where necessary. All right, so let's get into this. So week one, I lovingly call this your bleed week. So we have lots of different names for this, your period and flow, the red badge of courage, it's moon time, it's crimson tide, you're on the rag, you know, you get it, right? So whatever you are choosing to call this week, this is the week that your body is shedding your endometrial lining. And just so you realize the importance of this, your body makes a new organ every single damn month. And this is the week where your biology is basically saying, okay, there's no pregnancy here. We got to scrap this. We got to scrap this lining and we got to start anew. So during this time, what I like to tell my female clients is I want you to be paying attention to the quality of and the texture of your blood flow, because that's going to give us a lot of clues into the balance of your hormones from the past month. So things that I will often ask you to pay attention to is looking for gobs and gobs of blood. Like, is it really clotty and is it really kind of goopy? If you do see clots, we want to be looking at the size of them. So somewhere around the size of like a dime, maybe a penny is an appropriate size, but anything really larger, like if it's the size of a quarter or in Canada, you know, a loonie or a toonie, like a $1 coin or a $2 coin, these things are, that is too big of a clot. So we want to be looking for the size of the clot. You also want to be looking at the color of the blood, and you'll notice that it will change through your period. So at the beginning, it's going to be, it's usually darker, red, like a very dark red blood. And then over the course of your period, you'll find that the color will lighten. Towards the end of your period, it may even look brown, and that's just, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just more oxidized. But you want to be looking at the color of your blood. Is it dark? Is it bright red? Is it pink? So really taking note and taking stock of that. And then how long your period is as well, right? So typically the average period lasts anywhere between 4 and 6 or 7 days. And
looking at the like at the heaviness of the blood flow as well. So when you are, typically the first couple of days is the heaviest flow, and then it usually peters off after there. Are you unsure of actually when your period starts? Is there lots of spotting the days before it fully comes? So all this information is really going to give you insight into the health and integrity of your hormones. And that will give you clues in terms of where you want to focus on in terms of your nutrition, in terms of your movement, in terms of your mindset, and how we can help balance your hormones in the coming months. Just to give you kind of a hormonal landscape during your bleed week, this is when your estrogen and your progesterone levels will be quite low. And actually, most of the hormones that are associated with your menstrual cycle actually take a bit of a holiday this week, save for one. So typically when we look at estrogens, we look at progesterones, testosterones, luteinizing hormone, these are pretty low this week. The only girl who hasn't gone on vacation is follicular stimulating hormone, or FSH. So she, as the name suggests, FSH is designed to stimulate the follicle. So the follicle is this beautiful, what's a really expensive bag? Like a beautiful Chanel bag that encapsulates your precious egg that's developing inside. And over the next 2 weeks, and the first 2 weeks of your cycle, it's called the follicular stage for that reason. Follicular stimulating hormone is going to be driving the development of the follicle and the egg, of course, inside it. And the reason why this is so important is because there is a really important event about 2 weeks into your cycle, somewhere between day 12 and 15, maybe even day 16, where we release the egg from the Chanel bag. We release the egg from the follicle. And this is called ovulation. And this, by the way, is actually the main point of your cycle. I know that we all classify, day one of your of your cycle is your period. And so we often will pay a lot of attention to the bleed week, probably because we also have to attend to our needs at the time, right? Whether you're wearing Dixie cups or pads or tampons or whatever. But the whole point of your cycle is actually to drive follicular maturation so we can release this egg for fertilization, whether you want a baby or not. That's kind of the point of the cycle. So this whole follicular phase, and I'll do a separate podcast on how to eat based on your menstrual cycle and how to train, but just as a little, kind of to whet your appetite a little bit, these first 2 weeks, so week one and week two, really great times to be experimenting with new nutritional protocols like the ketogenic diet if you've never tried it, or fasting as well. You can really tolerate more aggressive types of fasting, particularly in your bleed week, but this is also true in your second week as well. So that's kind of your bleed week. That would be normal. So we see all the hormones like estrogens, progesterones, testosterones, LH, luteinizing hormone. They're all kind of like hanging low. FSH, follicular stimulating hormone, she's the one that's kind of holding down the fort. And then you finish your period, and then we come into week two, which is the week before ovulation, right? And this is when I like to... this is like my favorite week, to be honest. This is when we feel sexy, it's when we feel flirty, extroverted, we feel gorgeous, and of course, we're super horny. So this is it's a crude way to really measure, testosterone levels. I always say this, but, for a woman, we actually don't realize that for a woman, the most abundant sex hormone is testosterone. It's not estrogen. But one of the, a crude way to measure whether or not you have healthy testosterone levels is actually noticing a discernible rise in your interest in sex and having lots of orgasms from about day 10 of your cycle through to about day 16. And that's because testosterone peaks during this week. And estrogen, also, what we typically ascribe as the phenotypically female hormone, the goddess of the feminine, estrogen, she's making her first and her biggest rise in this cycle. So she is working to plump up your cheeks. She's working to plump up your lips. She makes your eyes bigger and brighter. There's been lots of studies that have looked at facial symmetry and when someone throughout her cycle, they've taken, the ethics of this is questionable, but they've taken, pictures of a woman all through her cycle. And typically they will rate week two as her most, attractive because, she has this estrogen effect of plumping up her face and, promoting facial symmetry. And this is why I always say, you know, Mother Nature is such a smart, wily little minx, because she knows the reason why you're horny, the reason why you want sex is because in a couple of days, there's going to be a viable egg for fertilization. And if your libido is rising, if you want sex, if you want to be having orgasms, it's going to obviously increase the likelihood that you are going to have sex, and sex increases the likelihood of sperm being around in the drop zone when the egg is viable. So just as a, you know, either this is an opportunistic or a cautionary, recommendation, sperm can live for about 6 days, right? So if you have sex right before you ovulate and there's some sperm that are kind of hanging out in the hood waiting for the egg, you can get pregnant that way. So tread wisely, young Padawan. You know, if you're looking to get pregnant, this is the 6 or 7 day window that you want to be opening up, having lots and lots of sex, lots of orgasm from your partner. And if you do not want a pregnancy, take precaution here. Go back and listen to my episode with Kim Anami and figure out other ways for you to satisfy your need for lots of sex and orgasms, right? So there can be contraceptive methods. There can be alternatives to penetration that are in order here if you don't want a baby.
I am incredibly bullish on sauna as a therapy for recovery, heart health, and overall aging well. I personally decided on an infrared sauna from Sunlighten because of the range of far wavelengths and near infrared wavelengths that it offers. Saunas help with detoxification and rejuvenation to rid your body of toxins. It helps with heart health by improving circulation, reducing blood pressure, and helping keep the arteries supple. It helps with muscle recovery by easing the tension and soreness to recover faster, and of course, stress reduction. With the warmth and the relaxation of sitting in a sauna, it's crucial for hormonal balance and achieving a state of well-being necessary for a strong physique and a strong mind. If you visit sunlighten.com/better and use code better to get a discount, that is sunlighten, sunlighten.com/better, and use code better at checkout.
And talking about some of the hormones, so we have testosterone rising, as I mentioned, estrogen rising, luteinizing hormone. This girl now, she comes out and she, I always think of luteinizing hormone as that like weird, awkward uncle that kind of comes in to the, you know, bursts in through the front door at a family holiday dinner and sees you and is like, hey, Steph, how are ya? You look great. And then like hits you on the back, you know, I mean, this has actually happened to me and like has caused me to spit out my food. That's actually what luteinizing hormone essentially does. It kind of bursts onto the scene all of a sudden, causes the follicle to spit out the egg. And of course, you know, this week ends with an egg being released. So the sort of two main players in week two are luteinizing hormone. Well, actually, there would be three. Luteinizing hormone, testosterone, and estrogen. And estrogen has its apex. So it actually reaches the highest amount of estrogen that it will throughout the entire cycle. So that's week one and two. That's the follicular phase. And then we get into the luteal phase. So these are the 2 weeks that follow ovulation. And most women will tell you, if you're paying attention, that you can tell that there's this subtle but palpable shift in your mood, in your sleep. And there's, you know, you don't quite feel as flirty, not quite as sexy or extroverted as you were in week two, when testosterone was reaching its peak. And then just like from a mental and cellular landscape, there's this shift inwards, right? And we start to see testosterone now. There's a sharp decline in testosterone. It looks like it did in week one. And this, we call it the luteal phase because it is named after the corpus luteum, or the artist formerly known as the follicle. So the follicle, once it releases the egg, now we refer to it as the corpus luteum. And she will start to secrete the luteal phase's main hormone. This is progesterone. Okay, so progestation, pro-pregnancy, progesterone. And progesterone has multiple effects on the brain and the body. She is the princess, the principessa of the luteal phase. So when we think about what she does, she, you know, in terms of inhibitory, she inhibits the pituitary gland secretion of FSH. We don't need FSH anymore. And luteinizing hormone, because we're not trying to release any more eggs right now, because we have an egg that's been released. And now what we want to do is we want to drive the endometrial lining. So it, she also, so progesterone will also reduce cervical mucus. So that's kind of when, you know, if you're looking at your underwear, and we did a, I think it was AMA number one or two, where we talked about cervical mucus throughout your cycle. But this time right after you ovulate, you'll sort of see these like these dry days. So you're not really going to see any like wetness or stickiness coming from the vagina during that time. And like I said, prepares the endometrium for a fertilized egg, stops uterine contractions, because we, if there is a baby, we don't want the uterus to be contracting and expelling that. We also see things like enhanced memory, and it has protective effects on the brain, the spinal cord, and the PNS, the peripheral nervous system. The other things that this girl does is, and this is why a lot of women often will complain about the last 2 weeks being more difficult, is she will slow down your bowel movements, so you're not pooping as often. And she will promote water retention, and she will directly stimulate your appetite. So she is, and I often will say, just kind of as a you know, a separate thing, a lot of times I would have women coming into my clinic with concussions. And I would often say that, you know, if you can, obviously if you can avoid concussions altogether, but if you can be concussed in the first half of your cycle, so in that follicular phase, it's way better than being concussed in the second phase of your cycle, in the luteal phase. Because if you are concussed in the follicular phase, you actually have the benefit of having 2 full weeks of progesterone in the brain, because it is very much a, it has protective effects for the brain. And we often see women who get concussed, and I would ask this in my intake, so women who have fallen down, or they were, you know, whatever had caused them to have that head injury, I wanted to know where in their cycle they were, they hit their head, because that affected their prognosis. So just a little clinical gem there. So talked about having the increased appetite, increased food cravings, all of that stuff. And I bring that up because it's worthy of a momentary pause and an opportunity for you to get to know yourself just a little squeak better than you did before listening to this podcast. You know, I want you to know that this is normal. Okay. If you are hungrier, if you have more food cravings, if you want more calories, girl, it is not because there's something wrong with you. It is because that is what is required. Your cellular biology, your reproductive capacity is driving this. You are supposed to be hungrier. And the reason is because you are growing an organ. There's nothing wrong with you. So I just feel like I felt called to tell you that, because I have so many women that are like, oh my God, I just, for whatever reason, I can stick to my diet for the first 3 weeks. And then the last week, the last 2 weeks, everything falls apart. And we will do lots of solo episodes on how to alter your foods during your menstrual cycle. But know that you don't need to stick to one way of eating all through the month. And in fact, I would recommend against that, because it's neither practical nor is it realistic. Okay. Let's just cut some energetic cords around that, shall we? So let's talk about the week before your period. So this is week 4, and progesterone, as I was mentioning, she peaks at around day 21-ish, day 21, day 22, depending on how long your cycle is. So about the, you know, towards the end of week 3, first couple days of week 4. And this is like a peak week. You know, I've talked about competing in figure before on the podcast, and this is like, it's do or die, right? You either get pregnant, or we need to scrap our efforts again and start next week. Start next week building up an entirely new organ or endometrial lining. And just also to note that with progesterone rising, we also have estrogen's second apex of the month. So estrogen is also rising alongside her sister, progesterone. And the role of estrogen in the luteal phase is, again, to support and drive the endometrial lining. Estrogen is a trophic, it is a hormone that drives growth. And she also will stimulate the fat to store more fat. So blurg, boo, but it's true. And estrogen also improves your vertebral articulation. So this is a great time for a presentation. It's a great time to be presenting. It's also a really great time to ask for a raise because you'll be so eloquent in your ability to communicate. And a couple of the things that I want you to notice about week four. Okay, so we have the biggest drop in serotonin. So serotonin is a hormone. It's also a neurotransmitter that's involved in happiness. Glutathione levels drop. So this is our master antioxidant that gets rid of like and scavenges free radicals. D3, so vitamin D3 levels drop. Our B vitamins all drop. Magnesium drops. Basically everything, there's an uptake when we look at the serum levels of these components. It's because your body is using them at a higher rate to drive up this organ, this endometrial lining. You will also see this in your foods, right? So we're going to see decreasing levels of amino acid levels in the blood. We'll also see elevated nitrogen utilization, decrease in or an increased uptake in lipid levels. So we will see lipid levels circulating in the blood decreasing because your body is using that fat to drive the endometrial lining. And you'll also see this with your cholesterol. So if you're getting lab work done, it's also an important time, or it's important for you to note when you are getting those lipid levels taken, because your cholesterol is now being used for progesterone and estrogen synthesis. So what you'll typically see is cholesterol and HDL reduce in your luteal phase as well. So just a little clinical gem for those of you that get lab work done on the regular. And then we will also see increased glucose utilization. So it's like basically your fats, your proteins, and your carbohydrates, they're all being used at a higher rate. And one of the things that we all have experienced potentially is in that week before your period, some of these like pro-inflammatory states. So if you are, if you have type 2 diabetes or IBS or PMS, this is the time when you're going to find that those things will tend to flare up. Even arthritic and arthritide processes like RA, osteoarthritis, these things, you'll just kind of find you're a bit more achy because this is, you tend to become more inflamed if things are not in balance. So this is basically what the normal sort of ebbs and flow of a period should look like. In terms of food, and I'll do a separate podcast on this, solo episode on this, but just around week 3 and 4, I really want to double click on this. You should be having more calories, particularly in week 4. And I know that that's a radical thought. And most people think, oh my God, she's telling me to like eat the whole Ben and Jerry's a tub of ice cream. I'm not. I'm telling you to have maybe 10 to 15% more calories in week 4. So that's not a lot. That's maybe, you know, if it's you're having 1500 calories a day or 1800 calories a day, that's, you know, 150 to 180 calories extra per day. But it's because your body needs it, right? Your body is actually utilizing those calories. You are utilizing the exogenous substrates, like you're from your diet, to be driving this endometrial buildup. So I hope that you found this useful. So just kind of in summary, week 1, bleed week, you know, most of your reproductive hormones are dropping. Also best time for the period poos. Ugh, I forgot to mention that. That is like probably my favorite part of getting my period. I feel like I drop, you know, and also with releasing and cleaning out my uterus, I also empty out the colon as well. So the period poos, best ever. And we see estrogen, progesterone levels, they fall as we shed the endometrial lining. Week 2, we have before ovulation, horny, sexy, flirty, right? Testosterone's rising, estrogen's plumping up your face, facial symmetry, rounding out your hips, all that beautiful stuff, those signs of fertility, if you will. Week 3, we see a discernible shift in your libido. Testosterone is going to fall. We're going to see a bit more of a shift inwards, and we're going to start to see the corpus luteum now is driving progesterone up, and we will start to see progesterone rising towards the end of week 3, reaches its peak, and estrogen is also rising in these last 2 weeks as well. Week 4, progesterone reaches her peak. Greatest stimulation on your appetite, core body temperature, and inhibits your bowel movements. So that is a normal period. Listen to this as many times as you need and start tracking to see how your period measures up to that. Because if you are noticing it, like for example, if you don't notice that you are horny or feeling a bit more sexy and a bit more extroverted towards the end of week one and week two, that may be but maybe we want to have more investigative follow-ons from that. Maybe want to look at your testosterone levels or look at your estrogen levels to see if there's anything gone awry there. So I really love to track my period with an app. No affiliation, but I use the Clue app, C-L-U-E. But there are many, many, many great period tracking apps. So I would definitely start doing that. And I would also, if you are somebody who is looking to get pregnant, I would start tracking your temperature as well. So you can do that with a basal body temperature a thermometer. There's also fertility awareness methods as well, which are super easy to implement. So that's it, guys. That's your period. That's your cycle. That is what makes us, one of the big distinguishing factors that makes us unique as women is our ability to create a new organ every month and potentially create life. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. For those of you who want to continue on this week's Geeky Magic Carpet ride with me, visit bettershow.co/show notes. You'll find research, links, summary notes, musings that I prepared in preparation for the podcast, and I often throw in some of my best practices, bonuses, and links. All the juicy bits are in there for you. And now for the obligatory legal and medical disclaimer. This podcast is for general information only, and the advice recommendations we discuss do not replace medicine, chiropractic, or any other primary healthcare provider's advice, treatment, or care. In the consumption of this podcast, there is no doctor-patient relationship formed, and the use and implementation of the information discussed are at the sole discretion of the listener. The information and opinions shared on this podcast are not intended to be a substitute for primary care, diagnosis, or treatment. This episode is brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Stephanie Estima, and Leverage. Leverage handles all production, creates the images that you see on my social media, and takes out all my awkward pauses. They are my secret magic bullet. You can visit them at getleverage.com/better.